again, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. All right, excellent singing, everybody. At this time, we will pray for the offering.
Welcome back, everybody, to Share Foundation Baptist Church. If you could go ahead, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 1. 2 Samuel chapter 1 is our text this afternoon. And as always here at our church, we read the entire chapter before the preaching. 2 Samuel chapter 1, the Bible reads, "Now it came to pass, after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag, it came even to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. And so it was, when he came to David, that he fell to the earth and did obeisance. And David said unto him, From whence comest thou? And he said unto him, Out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. And David said unto him, How went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered, That the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead, and Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also. And David said unto the young man that told him, How knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan his son be dead? And the young man that told him said, As I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and the horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me. And I answered, Here am I. And he said unto me, Who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. He said unto me again, Stand, I pray thee, upon me, and slay me, for anguish is come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head, and the bracelet that was on his arm, and have brought them hither unto my lord. Then David took hold on his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son, and for the people of the Lord, and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. And David said unto the young man that told him, Whence art thou? And he answered, I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite. And David said unto him, How wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? And David called one of the young men and said, Go near and fall upon him. And he smote him that he died. And David said unto him, Thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth hath testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. Also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher. The beauty of Israel is slain upon high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistine rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcision triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet, with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished? Brother Remy, you want to preach for pray for the sermon?
Amen. All right, so we just heard this chapter. This is 2 Samuel chapter 1. And what's interesting about this, if you've actually read 1 Samuel, which I'm sure everyone in here has, basically 1 Samuel is all about Saul taking the kingdom. And it's basically then when he sends, and the kingdom is taken from him spiritually and given to David, he spends the rest of his life hunting David, making his life hard, doing many things against them. You would think that David would just be happy that this evil man is gone. You would just think, like, man, if this dude was trying to kill me, he threw javelins at my best friend, I would just be glad he's gone. I'm just so glad. He's just gone. But here's the thing is, he literally sings a song about the beauty and strength of him. The beauty of this. Let me tell you this. This sermon is based, basically, as many of you know, I work within law enforcement. They deal with a lot of domestic disputes. This is basically the summary of the sermon. Don't get involved in strife not belonging to you because you have no idea how people will react.
Yeah.
Amen. You have no idea. And basically, I really mean this for everyone here. Can you imagine if you found out that a man that was hunting this guy, he was going to kill him? He's like, he's going to be king next. I want to be the first person to tell him, your pursuer is dead. I bet there's a reward in that. If you remember what was just read, but go ahead and turn to the first verse of this chapter. It says, now it came to pass that the death of Saul, and David returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites. And David had about 2 days in Ziklag. And it came to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent and upon the earth upon his head. And so that it was, when he came to David, he fell to the earth, and he did obeisance. And David said unto him, from whence came thou? And he said unto him, out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. And David said unto him, how went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered and said, the people fled from the battle, and many of the people also fallen dead. And Saul and Jonathan, his sons, are dead also. And David said unto the young man that told him, how knowest that Saul and Jonathan, his sons, be dead? And the young man told him, As I happened by chance upon the mount of Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots of horsemen followed after him. And when I looked behind him, he saw me, and he called unto me and answered me, here am I. And I said unto him, who art thou? And I answered, I am an Amalek. And he said again, stay, I pray thee, upon me and slay me, for I'm anguish come upon me, because thy life is yet whole in me. So I stood on him and slew him, because I was sure he could not live after that he had fallen. And I took the crown upon his head and the bracelets of his arm and brought them hither unto my Lord. Now, obviously, David was a big name. I mean, they sung songs about him. They knew about this. And I don't believe this guy was part of the army. He just kind of been the bystander. Whatever you believe, I've heard many different tellings about this. I think he's just looting the bodies because after a great battle, I mean, armor is valuable. And he finds the jewels of the king. Now, those would be valuable. But is a one-time benefit good? What if I bring them to who we all know is going to be the king afterwards? There's probably a reward in that. I mean, he's been hunting this dude. He must hate this guy. We all know he's and his man have been out in the wilderness probably for years running. I'm going to go tell him the gospel. Hey, did you know he was dead? Do you know it's done? You don't have to flee anymore? And we could go on. But you know what David did? He killed him. He said, who are you? You literally just told me you killed the king of Israel? The anointed of Israel? What? Your blood is based on your mouth. He literally said, put him to death. And here's my main example I think I can read from the Bible. Do not get involved in other people's households. Do not get involved in domestic disputes. Let me tell you, officers who have to respond to domestic disputes, no. Guess what? 99% of the time an outsider comes in, there is no solution. No solution. It's not going to help. And here's the thing. If you can turn there real quick, Proverbs 26, verse 17. Proverbs 26, verse 17, this is probably the key verse of this sermon. He that passes by and meddles with a strife belonging not to him is like one that takes a dog by the ears. What is that? Now, we've all been out to res dogs. I even saw a rookie card of a res dog. I mean, a lot of them, some of them you're like, oh, they love behind the ears. Some don't. You know, as you guys may know, my wife has actually been mauled by a dog going out soul winning. You don't want to grab a dog by the ears because you don't know that. They bite you. And let me tell you, this Amalek who is bringing the crown jewels to the new king. And it doesn't say he's looking for reward, but there must have been a reason he came out to David. You know what happened? The dog bit him. You're like, dude, he's been throwing rocks at this dog, kicking this dog, trying to kill this dog with a javelin. You think the dog would be happy? He was not. That was his father. That was his brother. You know, maybe by adoption or marriage into the family, that was family matter. We can fight, but don't you join. And here's the thing is, family issues just stay out. Now, do you think people call the cops over just simple things? Oh, you better believe it. They call about a whole bunch of things. I mean, I was called this past, got a report this week that the roommate, their brother, uses Netflix too much and needs the cops to come stop him. I don't know what you want me to do. Do you think people don't call me like they don't do their fair share of cleaning? You better believe reports come in about that. You know what we're going to do about that? Yeah, we're just, get down! But if you think that's ridiculous to call the cops? Do you think people go to God Almighty about cleaning matters? Because I bet if you know Mary and Martha, she went to God himself because her sister was not doing a fair amount of cleaning. You know what solution there was? You just got to get right. There's no solution. You'd be like, everyone has stresses and plaints in their life. And let me tell you, it tears them apart. And here's the thing is, what's interesting is, I think if you go through the Bible, you know what? We learn about a bunch of morals, how we should be, how we should act. And then we learn about families that, is any of this a part of it? Because you know what? When we go through our lives, we like people that get stuck in TV and in social media, you may think like, oh, the war in Iran, or how governments are doing, the conspiracy and the banks. But you know what really bothers you? Probably that your husband doesn't put his clothes in the stupid, it's a hamper, it's for dirty clothes, it's right there, every day. And that drives you mad. And that's way more personal, affects you, tears you the heart, than if we're at war with Iran or not. And I don't know, someone roll the dice. Are we or are we not at war right now? I do not know. Yeah, like... But here's the thing is, domestic things tear us because they're the ones that are really emotional. I think that's why the Bible covers them so much. But here's the thing is, I mean, people can just complain. Like, do you think you can take someone that's had a really bad life and all this? Like, man, they've called in the cops. They've been abused. They've been beaten. Man, they just didn't get anything. And they just like, I just want to escape. And then like literally forces come. They take them out, separate them, send them off. And they're like, the food's good, but we get the same thing every day. It's horrible. I want to go back to the place I complained about being abused. Like, are you talking about domestic violence? I'm like, I'm talking about Israel and Egypt. They're like, we're being beaten, we're enslaved, we're doing this, but man, that garlic soup and leek soup is bomb. That was bomb. Dude, you're not even slave anymore. But the leeks, have you had them? Let me tell you, people are strange. We got to understand that like we don't know how people will react. People will do crazy things. And here's the thing is, in John chapter 1, verse 20, it says, then Peter turning about seeth the disciples whom Jesus followed, which also leaned on his breast of the supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter seeing him said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now here's the thing is, are you going to know a lot? Like, let me tell you. I think everyone in this room plans to spend years, if not decades, with each other. Do you think we're not going to learn things about each other, about our family, our households, right, our history, our family history, our other things? And let me tell you, as I go through the sermon, I hope you understand. No matter if some people appear to be more clean, this or that, I bet your family is a disaster in certain ways. It's just the way we are, because we're all sinners. But let me tell you this, no matter if sometimes we're like, I wish I had their struggles or I had that struggles, hey, Jesus just said, hey, you just follow me where you are in your life. How about you follow this? Remy was touching this on this day. It's not that we never judge for any situation, but a lot of times we just need to not judge the things that don't concern us. Yeah. You know, I think his sermon this morning was a great intro, or just, they're complimentary, they're different. But here's the thing is, we need to follow our own struggles, because let me tell you this, that should be enough.
Yeah.
The struggles that we have in our lives, our own family, once we get extended families, maybe our friends, our households, our work, let me tell you, there are some drama going on. And today, I'm going to be kind of reenacting this, because maybe this isn't the way you read it. I sometimes read the Bible like, what would this sound like today? What would it sound like today if someone called the cops and we got like some of these Bible stories reported in like a report that I read every day? You're like, does that seem weird? Maybe it is. Don't take offense if you're like, eh, this is kind of weird. But I'm just saying, like, do you read the Bible and see the drama that's going on? Because it is nuts. It's crazy. Can you imagine if somebody called the cops and like, they're like, hey, there's an abandoned child out in the woods. You want to check that out? You're like, ah. All right, this is Unit John 316. I'm on site. Baby's picked up by a mother. I think I'm wondering, what's the victim? It's Hagar. All right, Hagar. Hey, I'm coming up to talk to you. Is that all right? Hey, come here. Got an abandonment report. Heard you just left a child out. It looks like you left him under a bush. I mean, hey, you seem to be crying. Are you having a emotional event right now? You seem to be harmed. You want to talk about this? Because we got some concerned reports that you're just out in the wilderness with a baby. So we're just checking on you. All right, so what's going on? Your boyfriend got mad and threw you out of the house. Okay, what's going on with that? His wife was mad. Okay, I see problem number one. Okay. Is the child's father around? Oh, that is the husband of the wife. Okay. All right, that I can see why that'd be upset. And you were living with them. Okay. So how did that happen? Your good friend was worried about losing her husband, so she decided to try an open relationship. I'm going to say I've not seen many of these go well. She had a problem having children, and they wanted you to be the surrogate. Okay. This is the child. So exactly what you wanted to happen, and they got mad, and now you're out in the wilderness. Okay. Yeah. So what do you want to do here? Do you want some resources? Do you want to go to... You're going back to the woman who threw you out and to die in the woods. You're going to go back. You're not claiming any... Okay, there's no victim. They said they'll take you back. All right, I guess I'm done here. Now, that'd be a crazy story. Do you think those things don't happen on almost a daily basis, even here in Spokane? That happens a lot. That's a crazy story. I mean, and you're like, no, open relationship's a modern problem. I don't think you've read the Bible. Like, there's a lot of weird situations going on in the Bible. And of course, I'm talking about Hagar, Sarah, and Abraham. That's what it was. You know, it's crazy because you're like, well, I mean, it's a whole different time. It's like, well, if I looked up on my computer, like, okay, well, let me check on this family as I'm writing this report. They're like, oh, good. The nephew of the husband of this child with the open relationship has an incest report coming in because during a strange arson of a city, his wife said it survived, but then she died, and his two daughters seem to be pregnant by them. That seems like some family drama. And I don't think anyone showing up on scene, even with the authority of an officer, is going to fix the family problems. It's not going to happen. You try to make sure everyone's safe at the moment, but y'all go home. What'd she do? She went back home to a hard relationship. But I think everybody in this situation made a wrong choice. So what can you do? All I'm going to say is nothing could have fixed that problem if you showed up right then, right as, you know, child out there. Like, there's no fixing that. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11, it says, and that ye study to be quiet, and you to do your own business, and work with your own hands, as we command, that ye walk honestly towards them that are without, and them may have lack nothing. Sometimes all we can do is, like, because you're going to run into crazy, I don't care where you are, you're at work, you can be in church, you can be in your family, it could be in your neighbors, it could be in your friends. You're going to come across stuff. You're like, you are blown away. Like, how are you involved in such a thing? How are you involved in this? And sometimes you just got to go, not my place, not my problem. And you got to carry on. Because sometimes, if you're outside of it, you probably can't help or fix. Because this is a thing that took on years. You think abandonment's unusual? Abandonment's not unusual. You show up, you're like, you know, Unit Echo 289, we got a report of someone dropping a kid off at a church. All right, I'll go check it out. Hey, ma'am, you're walking away from a baby. Just want to talk a minute. You're not detained. You can leave at your own free will. Just want to ask some questions. So there seems to be a kid you're leaving here. What's going on? You're like, oh, well, see, I couldn't have kids. I really want to have kids. But I finally prayed to God, and he gave me kids, and I get to be mom life. And now I'm giving the child up. You're giving the child up now that you finally have. Yeah, my friends just ridiculed me for years, embarrassed me and my husband because I couldn't have kids. So I prayed for it, and I got it. And now I'm just dropping them off at a church. But don't worry. I love mom life. Every year I'm going to make him a sweater, and I'm going to bring it in. Every year. Because I love mom life. But you're abandoning the kid. No, I'm giving it over to, you know, like a good man. Like he's a pastor. He's a priest. He's going to take great care of him. Mom life. Is this okay with him? I'm sure it is. Okay, well, I mean, if he's okay with it, I guess they can do that. But let me type up this report. Like, hey, can I do a check on this? It's like, okay, he is the priest of this, you know, church. His two sons are a reprobate. That's where you want to leave your son? Yeah. Oh. Okay. All right. And you're taking the son, you're adopting him? You're like, oh, okay. I mean, that's the story of Hannah, Elijah, and his two reprobate sons. I mean, that's a crazy story.
Eli,
thank you. That's a crazy story. Now, here's the thing is, you're like, you're missing the point that God directed these things to work. You're like, hey, if I just showed up on scene and started asking questions, I don't got the full story. And let me tell you, it sounds nuts. And let me tell you that, I show up on scene, unless I'm taking that child, I ain't fixing it. So I can have my own opinions in that, but let me tell you, that's crazy. She just abandoned the kid and all this. You probably got more information, but let me tell you this. No one here has the full story. And even if you have the authority of the cops, they show up, guess what? They don't got all the story. And they may start to judge, but you know what? Cops are just going to be like, I have to make a switch. Like, everyone's okay with this crazy situation? All right. I guess I'm going to move on.
1 Corinthians 8,
go ahead and turn there if you want, but it's like, we never know the full story. And that's one reason why I think God says, hey, don't just jump into issues that don't involve you, because you don't even know. We learn from David that even though you have this, I mean, how logical would it be that this dude's going to be so happy this guy's dead and he kills you? Because when in his family motion is so tied up in emotion, stress, want of change, and this or that, you never know what's going to happen in time. You don't know what's been forgiven, what's sensitive, what's bygone. You have no idea, and you walk into a scenario. It's crazy. And in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 2, it says, "And if any man thinketh that he know anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know." Let us always remember, we don't know the full story. And even as we read the Bible and we go through these characters, we find that the hand of God is working through them. We have no idea. Let me tell you this. There's many other stories in the Bible that are just crazy and insane. And it's not the work of God. It's because of our sin. Let me tell you, everything Remy said this morning was true. But sometimes God just lets us dwell in our sin. For our own punishment, I think. But we can't tell the difference. Maybe it's a trial. Maybe it's our punishment. Maybe it's just God humbling us. We don't know. And let me tell you that. If we don't know in our own lives, because Job didn't know what was going on, and he got troubled really bad. Do you really want your wife to be swearing you to die? Do you think she's the first woman ever to call the cops and letting them know that they wish her husband's dead? It is not. I will let you know. The phone call is a long time or very quick. But here's the thing is, you know, we do all these things. I mean, people find about babies one thing, but man, you know what's really crazy? Siblings. Oh, the trauma of siblings. Don't ever get into siblings fights, because that's crazy. Can you imagine showing up in a disturbance? It's being reported like, two brothers have brought their friends together. It looks like they're going to clash right in public. You're like, man, why is it on my shift? Couldn't they wait until next shift? Dang it! And they brought a lot of friends, so it's like, all right, bring many people. Oh, dude, they got weapons. Bring SWAT out. All right, so the neighbors called us in. And you get there, you're like, hey, sir, come here. What's your name? Israel. Is that your birth name? Jacob, thank you. Thank you for telling me your real name. Okay. I hate when people give fake names. What up? Anyway, Jacob, what's going on here? Are you the grandson of Abraham? Oh, man, there's always that family in town, man. Like, you think it's just one person having drama? The family just carries on. Like, I had to deal with their family before. Yes, that family. Okay, the incest family, the people that abandoned children, great. Okay. Well, so what's going on here? I see it looks like you're about to fight. What's going on here? Here's what happened, officer. Years ago, I dressed up as my brother like he's Bigfoot. I put fur on me, and my dad patted me on the head. So my brother wants to kill me. Okay. Is there anything else going on? Well, yeah. You won't believe it, but I made him vegetarian chili before. And he really wants to kill me. I was like, how bad was your chili? No, it was good. He loved it. It satisfies him. It was good chili, but he wants to kill you. That is correct, officer. Okay. What else? So he was mad about the good chili. Oh, super mad, officer. He really wanted me dead. Okay. So what are you about to go to war? Like, why are you about to declare war on each other in my district right now? What's going on? Because you dressed up as Bigfoot and you gave him chili. That's right, officer. That's why he wants to kill me. When this happened? Years ago, but I'm sure he's still pissed about it. All right, that's definitely your family. So hold on, let me check some things out. Like, you stand right there. They're talking to them over there. Let me run some things. All right, looking up here. Hey, I want to ask you a question, because I have a neighbor district telling me that a couple nights ago you had another mob come out and want to kill you. Yeah, that wasn't my fault either. That was my uncle. Your uncle wants to kill you. Yeah, turns out he was missing some anime figures or something. He has a whole wall of them. You know, he like worships them. They're like crazy little figures, and they went missing, and he blamed me. He's like, did you steal them? Do you have a warrant, officer? No, I didn't steal nothing. No one, they're not in my camp. I didn't take no anime figures. You're like, okay, we're not here for that. All right. Okay, so your uncle wants to kill you because of anime figures. Any other reason he wants that? Well, his daughters are with me. Your uncle's daughters, so your cousins are with you. Yeah. Why are they with you? I married my cousin. Which one? Yes. So you married both your cousins. Yeah, that's right. All right, your family, man. Okay. And everyone's cool with that? Like, yeah, he gave them to me. Okay, let's just move past that. All right. Hey, I'm typing up my report. I just need to figure out who all these kids are. You got a lot of people here. Who are these kids? Like, oh, that's my wife's maid's kids. Like, oh, okay. Is there a father here? Yeah, that's me. So you got your two cousins and their maids and you, baby daddy, all. You got like four baby mamas with you? Yes, officer, that's correct. You're like, okay, and your uncle lost some anime figures. He wants to kill you. And your brother, you gave chili and he wants to kill you. Officer, none of this is my fault. This is all their fault, okay? You're like, all right. Hey, you haven't even gotten in a fight yet, but it looks like you're walking with a limp. What happened? You're like, last night I was fighting a stranger all night. Oh, who was he? I think he was God. Oh, great. Can you imagine, do you think you're fixing this multi-generational problem in this incident? You got two people willing to, like, it looks like they're about to go to war. Boy, you come and try to fix the drama in that family right then, you ain't getting nothing done. I don't care if you have the authority of the cop. That cop's just like, I wonder if I can leave. Can I do anything else? Like, I'm probably going to go become a school teacher because that's just way too much drama. So, here's the thing is, understand, one reason why it's hard to enter into someone else's drama, because understand, when it's in your household, it's not generally one problem. It's not generally even a group of problems. It's usually overlapping. And if this story, if you understand that this is, you know, Jacob with Laban and his brother Ishmael, and then his wives are fighting, their maids are like, everybody's fighting everything for over different reasons, for different that. They're all overlapping, and it's crazy, and there's nothing you're going to do in that moment coming in to fix it because you have years and years and years and years of problems, different reasons people have problems. It's not just one problem. That's a cacophony of crazy plus the generational problems. Because let me tell you, every town's got that family that every officer knows, like, oh, gosh, that's going to be the rest of my shift, going down and dealing with that. But here's the thing is, family drama overlaps everything. And you're not going to fix it right out of that. So even if you're law enforcement, you can't just step in there. So how much less likely if someone else just steps into someone else's drama? If, go to turn to Philippians 4. In Philippians 4 and verse 8, understand, don't grab a dog by its ears, especially if it's not your dog. And it's just this. And here's the thing is, are all of us guilty of doing this? As everyone, I mean, I'm not going to raise a hand, but I'm sure I'm not the only one who's watched Cops back when I was online. And you're like, dang, that is a crazy family. And we ignore the craziness of our family because it's not put on TV. Now, I still don't know who none of them, but I mean, for like 20 years, people were very interested in Brad Pitt going with Janet Lee, or is she going with the person from Friends? I can't think. Like, why do people even care? They're like, this isn't even your drama. Like, that's their household. But people fight about these things. Why? It's celebrity, it's news, and it's outside my house. So we like to see the evil and disgust and outside of our own households because sometimes I think it makes it easier. But let me tell you, I guarantee you, if I went through your family tree and households, and let me tell you, the reason I say this is, you know what a lot of my job is? Researching people. I go through people's phones. Drama abounds. So in Philippians 4 and verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Because let me tell you this. A lot of law enforcement have to deal with people's worst days. It wears on them. Why do you think most of them are just jerks? Now, some of them it's for love of power, but let me tell you, you're just, I mean, a lot of people, it said, you only deal with like a death a few times in your life. Dude, that's like, you know how many DOAs officers go to? Most people are found dead, that means dead on arrival. And most people die of natural causes, but let me tell you this, you know who usually has to go deal with that? Officers. You know what they have to do after that? Go watch school kids walk across the street. You know what they have to do with that? They have to go home. Day in and day out. And that can be ride heavily on them. And let me tell you that. Many of them can't make it the 20 years it requires to do that. Whether you hate them or not, they deal with everyone's stress. People getting drunken fights over family reunions over food, they got to go deal with that. They got, you know, the most horrible events. But let me tell you this. If they don't find a way to actually focus on good things to wash their minds, they can't make it. And how much true is that for everyone? Hey, sometimes we get so obsessed with certain things that perhaps don't even affect us that sometimes we have to go, we got to renew ourselves and focus on other things. We have to stop how our brain is circling. Even if it's the most interesting drama in the world, sometimes we just got to go, hey, I need to just go and focus on something else, something pure, something good, and something maybe in my life. And I believe that is what we are supposed to do. We shouldn't just go out in strife. We shouldn't just build strife. We shouldn't put stumbling blocks in front of other people. And frankly, we get in communities and then we just raise more drama about drama around drama and all this. And let me tell you, that's exactly like you ever go read a news article, even the Spokane Review. Pretty much the article is like this big, and then the blog under that is like people fighting about everything from Epstein to the article to the cops to taxes. And it's just people like just waiting every day, like, a news article. They go nuts. Because there's something about getting into other drama that doesn't directly affect us. Sometimes we feel, I don't know, engaged. But here's the thing is, I will tell you this, open relationship and baby mamas, they're going to cause drama. There's one thing I've learned about being in law enforcement, dealing with people's households. I highly recommend you try to limit these to, you know, have your one wife. All right? Because I'm going to tell you, and the Bible folds this through. They don't use open relationship. They use, you know, wives. They also use concubines and all this. But baby mamas, baby mama drama. That's what it is. And let me tell you, I mean, once again, we could show up in another scene. You know, once again, you're showing up on a call. Oh, goodness. Hey, this is unit 04. Is this Jacob's sons again? They're like, yeah, you're showing up that family. That family. Goes by Israel. I guess that's his street name. His legal name's Jacob. All right. A bunch of his sons are now calling in because they believe the second youngest brother is going to kill them all. Unit, be aware that the second youngest brother is the current prime minister. Oh, good. I love when it's a political case. Those are great. Because it certainly never comes back to bite the person investigating it. Wonderful. The prime minister has a bunch of brothers that think they're going to kill him. This will be a great call. All right, well, before I get there, since the prime minister of all, let me do some research. So what's going on in this family? They're like, turns out that the father just died a couple days ago. And it was overheard that with his dying breath, he was still pissed that one of his sons slept with his side chick. That's not great. And also, he cursed two of his other sons for causing a never-solved multiple murder because there weren't any witnesses, but they took all lower parts from a whole village. And it was never solved, but the dad cursed the two sons for this violence. That's great. And this is the prime minister's family. Great, great. Mass murder. Good, yeah. And it's connected that this is all because something about his sister's former boyfriend. There's a whole family dispute there, too. That's why they killed everyone, reportedly. But we could never prove it. Further reports show concerned citizens that one of the sons had a child with his daughter-in-law. This happened because she dressed up like a hooker on his favorite street while he was traveling. I hate dealing with this family. No good ever comes from dealing from the Jacobs.
All right.
So I've gotten the context of this season, and you see, let me find out what happened. Like, how's the Prime Minister connected to this? He's never even been with this family before. All right, there's an old report of a missing child. I see there was reports of blood, maybe a beast in a pit. But what's this say? The Department of State has redacted the rest of this report. Great. Fantastic. All I know is that the Prime Minister was in jail for some reason, and all of a sudden he became the Prime Minister of our country. But somehow he's connected to this ghetto family. I really don't... Is there any way I can kick this case to anyone else? Because this is insane. All right. The reports are conflicting. All right. You know, I'm just not even going to invest. Like, the Prime Minister... Like, this family, I mean, let me tell you, my shift's going to be a lot easier if they stop existing, so I don't know how well I'm going to investigate this. But you're not fixing this family. Can you imagine the brothers all call in because they're like, he's going to kill us. And why was he going to kill him? Because they sold him to slavery. Because he's, you know, this brother who became the Prime Minister did not have a great life, but neither did his brothers. I mean, imagine if you're going to sell your own brother into slavery. Man, they went on and did even more wicked stuff. It wasn't like it was a simple, it was like great from there. And hey, why did these brothers even get rid of this child? It's because dad got him a little better drip than the other kids, right? He had this slick coat, and they're like, oh, hell, heck no, man. That's not the way we're going to do it. You're going to have, you know, we got all these browns and like a white coat. He's got the multicolored? No. Nah, young bro, you're not, into the pit you go. You're like, that seems really like drama. You're like, yeah, that's some drama. Let me tell you that. You showing up trying to get into that family picture, you're not going to solve nothing. I bet there's some gossip about them. I mean, you got the Prime Minister there. The king just selected him from jail. I mean, you know some corruption's going on. And what I've heard... That dude is such into the economic forum. He wants you to rent everything, own nothing, and be happy about it. I mean, you think the economic forum is that? They just read Joseph, what he did in Egypt. They're like, oh, I'll make everyone rent the land they're living on. Genius. I mean, that's drama. That's corrupt. I mean, like, it's all there. You're like, oh, these are all new problems. No. There's nothing new under the sun. Just, you know, update it. Go ahead and turn to 1 Timothy 5. All I'm saying is this. When you read the Bible, we learn about morals and how things should be. But then the difficulty is this. Even if we could keep our own selves pure, even if we could do our own things, and hey, Joseph is literally given to us a scene because the way he's told in the story, we don't hear one sin from him. I'm not telling him he's sinless. But the way he is told, he did everything he was supposed to do. Was his life peaceful without stress and without problems? Heck no. He was accused of adultery. He was enslaved. He was lied to, thrown in jail, and get like innocent. So, I mean, you got this guy who's a slave. He's got a criminal record. And we got reports of sexual misconduct. I mean, that's dramatic. Who's going to accuse that guy? Well, God can. But here's the thing. It's total drama. And if you're there in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 11 says, but the young widows refused, for when they had begun to wax wanted against Christ, that they will marry, having damnation, because they have cast off their first faith, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers and busybodies, speaking the things which they ought not. I will therefore that the young women marry, bear children, and guide the house, give none occasion unto the adversary to speak reproachfully. And why I threw this in here is, let me tell you, if you really think about Israel's family, can you imagine there was a lot of gossip? I mean, frankly, if we had, like, more deal, like, you could spend a whole lifetime in the drama of that family. That's nuts. There'd be so many Lifetime Channel and whatever else channels. There'd be documentaries about the drama of this one family. Everyone would be like, man, the true crimes based on this family would be nuts. But here's the thing. Just because it's dramatic... And I think that's why you can identify that the Bible is real. You could gossip about all this forever. Because let me tell you, the Bible does not use perfect people. Like, when it tells that story, I think it's because we can identify that it's based on real people. Because let me tell you, you read the Quran or you read a lot of other texts, it's about powerful people that are just always power. It's like reading like Marvel comics or more so like DC, where it's like, this is a superhero that is just always more powerful. They're just always better. They are always that. And there is one weakness, so there's drama, but it never really does anything. That's not the way. Can you imagine on your dying bed, you're going around your kids, you're like, I'm really glad you're all here, but you three still suck. Thanks, Dad. Like, but hey, they're all there. That's another good picture of family. They all still lived in the same household with this knowledge. Because you know what families have to do? Not all of them will ever move on. They're not all are ever reconciled. But you know, some families get over a lot of craziness and they still come together. And that is why it's so hard for an outsider to try to get into a family. Because let me tell you that. How are you going to come? Like, there's years of drama and things you can never even know. You may not even know why you are not allowed to bring potato salad. It is because 20 years ago, this aunt and this aunt both broke potato salad, but she's supposed to bring pasta salad, and it ruined the potluck, and no one talked to each other for 3 years. You think that's out of the question? I've seen families break up for far less. You're like, no one fights over food. We fell from damnation into damnation because, you know, our father and mother couldn't decide what and not to eat. I mean, it's true. And the children of Israel got cursed by God because they complained about, you know, honey cake. You know, it was delicious. But I want you know, yard bird. Get some yard bird in there. Like, people fight about food. You're like, sometimes you think that's ridiculous. But then you apply it to your own life. And if you're married, you better know food is very important. I don't know why, but I've had to learn it. It's very important. Otherwise, there's drama. But here's the thing is, gossiping about other things doesn't help. Staying out of, don't grab the dog by the ear. Like, staying out of people's others' problems is a necessity. Yeah. And let me tell you this. If you work in law enforcement, you're in so many people's business that you have to learn to let go. Because there's just no possible way you can keep all that. And a lot of times you are like, why are you so unemotional? How do you not feel? How do you hear this and you just don't break down? And you're like, you cannot imagine the amount of drama that happens in your neighborhoods and around. Hundreds of stories a year that are similar, worse, different. This just over and over again. The insanity that people have to go through. And let me tell you this. Every time I find people that are amazed that drama's going on in other people's lives, whether they're celebrities, politicians, your neighbor, your aunt, like, I always go, like, how are you surprised? I mean, do you not have a family? Because if you don't, I bet there's drama associated to why you don't. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm sure whether I talk to you about your lifetime of family, whether it's your immediate family, maybe it's your immediate, you know, family outside, your brothers, aunts, cousins. But then we all know family's not perfect. I've never met someone who has a perfect family tree. It's like, we have our household, and then we have our sisters, and that it's all mixed in. There's people there. But let me tell you this. I bet there's not possible you could go one step away from your house, and certainly not two steps, that you don't have infidelity, orphans, step-parents, abandonment, custody issues, money, infidelity, inheritance problems. Let me tell you, those cause big issues. Favoritism, childhood wrongs, disappointed parents, family honor, a jail, criminal history, fights, deaths, assaults, you know, stealing from each other, stress, hard, impossible, you know, drug use, breaking home, mixed families, mixed morals, mixed religions. Some people fight about mixed races, class issues, different wealth levels, different nationalities being brought into it. Family history, and one of a thousand things. Let me tell you this. This is why everyone's family is nuts. Now, some you look at it, you're like, I could never deal with that. And other people look at others that have way worse family and be like, what are they complaining about? They have an easy family. But I'm going to tell you this. If you really dig down to your families, you know they're ghetto. Like, there are some stories that come from your family tree. I'm just saying, I have never met someone that can't tell me. They're like, no, our family's totally normal. your aunt was an offspring of rape. And I say that because that's my lineage. Like, there's many things in my family is that. If you're telling me your family has absolutely nothing odd, different, strange, weird, demonic, this or that, somewhere in the family, I imagine it's a pretty small thing. But then you got friends, your church, your business. Like, people have stresses and craziness in their life. And all I'm saying is this. Sometimes we can't avoid all parts of it, but man, we can limit what we engage in. Because domestic issues happen throughout many houses. And frankly, we just have to stop limiting the drama. It's going to happen to us. Look at the people we've read in this book. Not all of it was their fault. Some of it was. Some of it was that. It was brought to them. It was brought upon them. And sometimes we have to deal with it. But how much do we need to deal with another person's household as our primary focus? And here's the thing. Go ahead and turn to Luke 6. Hey, and here's the thing is, why I keep wanting to focus on this is, one, in my job, I have to go and learn more things about people than you'd ever want to. And like I said, going through people's phones, the dramas, the criminal, the intents, the victims, and all this, it just gets nuts, the drama. You're like, how do people even get to this point? And it's little things here and there. But I will tell you this, I don't think anyone can literally tell a whole story. Let me tell you, this is true in the Bible. The more someone's talked about, the more disastrous their family sounds. And I think it's because, frankly, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think anyone who is truly honest about their whole family history going longer and longer and longer, the more crazy it gets. But here's the thing, is the more the Bible talks about someone, it seems like the weirder or broken their family is with drama. And it's just because I think they're just telling more about it. And we'll get to David because I think he was one of the more characters that have talked more about in the Bible. Like the more details of like his young life, his going, his ruling and that, his family. It's nuts. But it's crazy. But if you're in Luke 6 and verse 42, it says, either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thy eye, when thou shouldest behold it's not the beam that is in your own eye. Thy hypocrite, cast out the first beam out of thy own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull the mote that is in thy brother's eye. And why I just quoted that is this, is understand, not everyone's going to deal with everything that craziness that other people do, but I guarantee you, you look closely in your life, there is something that is absolutely crazy. And if I got up here and tried to do a fake police report, you'd be like, please do not ever tell anyone about that. Because it'd be nuts. And what happens between closed doors or in a household or in the immediate family? I mean, if you told me, I can't think of one fight my two steps out of my family has ever had in my lifetime. I expect you're as old as Karina. Because outside of that, how? You have sinless family? They have no conflicts? They have no differences about the whole list of things I have? Because let me tell you, you mix that all together. I mean, why is Friendsgiving now a big thing? It's because people are like, I don't want to even see my family. Like, that's a big thing, right? You can do both. I'm not saying against that, but I'm just saying, like, a lot of people, like, they try to avoid because we're just going to fight. The boomer's going to tell me to vote Republican and I'm a Democrat. Like, you know, whatever people fight about. But that's the big thing because they don't even want to have conflict. But guess what? Conflict's just kind of part of life. But here's the thing is, let's talk about a man like Remy mentioned him this morning, but David, a man after his own heart, God's own heart. What a disaster of a family. Like, I don't know if there's much, like, it's a horrible family life. I mean, can you imagine, like, just all the craziest there? But just picking, like, one story in his life. Can you imagine showing up just like, we got a call of someone burning a field. Can you go out and check on that? And you show out, and you're like, yeah, he's kind of like, I mean, he's kind of a lean dude. He's got no blemishes, but he's got this mullet. Kind of weird. Really long hair. Sir, put the matches down. Come here. I just want to ask some questions. Just come, just right there. That's a good safe distance. All right. what is going on here? You want to see your dad, so you're burning this field. Is this your dad's field? It's his co-worker's field and you're burning it because you want to see your dad. But it's not your dad. Okay, does that make sense to you? It does. Do you think you've lost your mind? Like, why are you burning your dad's co-worker's field out here because you want to see daddy? That's nuts. You think that makes perfect sense. All right. Have you gone to see your dad since you want to see him? No, you haven't. You've waited 2 years, but you haven't gone and seen your dad in that time. Now you're burning his co-worker's field. Okay. But you're really mad. You're mad because your gimped cousin gets to dine with your dad every single night because he's dead uncle's, you know, only living relative. That, like, so you're angry at your cousin. You think I'm an idiot because I said that. Well, what are you mad about? You want to see your dad. Why did you talk about your gimped cousin? He's not really your cousin. He's, how are you related to this guy who gets to dine with your dad every night that's, like, handicapped, handicapable, whatever you want to call him, sir. What is going on here? All right. So, the handicapable person you're eating dinner with had a grandfather that tried to kill your dad with a javelin. Who are we talking about, sir? Like, what's going on? Okay. So, your cool dead uncle that your dad never stopped talking about, that's the guy's father that tried to kill both you with a javelin. Not you, your dad, and the brother. Like, sir, what does that have to do with you burning this field right now? You're trying to tell me. Okay. Sir, please focus. I just need to know why this field's going burned down. All right. Something about your father. All right. Okay. You want me to tell about Jonathan, your kind of uncle who had a father try to kill you both and somehow was related to your dad. Okay, so what does that have to do with you? You're like, okay, now you're talking about your sister. What happened to your sister? I'm really sorry that happened to your sister. What happened to your brother that did this? Why don't you want to talk about your brother that did this? Where is he now so I can question you? Okay. Yes, I'm not here to investigate that, but I'm here about the fire. What happened to the brother? Okay, you don't want to talk about him. Okay, great. All right, so you don't want to talk about what happened to your sister that you're mad. Okay. How do you know any of this? Oh, you talked to your stepmom. Your dad's first wife. Is that your mother? Oh, it's not. How many wives? He has a lot of wives. Okay. What do you want to tell me about your dad's first wife? Because he's such a bad man. His first wife loved him. She risked her life to save his life, and he abandoned her, went out into the field and got multiple wives. And once she found the man that she loved, he came back, took her away, and broke them up. I'm sorry that happened to you, sir, but why is this field on fire? Okay. So you're angry that your dad just uses people and throws them away and abandons them, and you feel that's what they are. So tell me about your dad's rule. Why is this all happening? It's because your dad has a rule about not killing family members. Is that a good thing? You're saying no. If he would have just killed his father-in-law, a lot of people would have lived. Okay, sir, I'm talking. We're running through hypotheticals. Let me know. If you would have killed your eldest brother, a lot of people would have lived. Okay, well, I'm sorry. But you're saying your dad will kill people. He killed one of his best friends. Why did he kill his best friend but not his son? Because his wife was hot. Okay. Sir, is your dad's next wife, is that why you're burning the field? No. What's going on? What's all this? You're like, you know, stop telling me I'm not listening. I'm trying to listen to you, sir, but this story doesn't make any sense. There's a lot of drama going on. I'm trying to straighten out. Help me understand why you're burning this field. It's because after your dad killed one of his best friends to take his hot wife, he's promised that the inheritance will go to this child. and you're mad about that. Sir, hold on, I'm getting a call. Yep. Are you serious? Right now, let him go. Well, sir, I guess it doesn't matter. Turns out the owner of the field saying he absolutely wanted the field dead and there's no pressing charges. And I guess your dad will speak to you now. So I'm going to let you go. I guess I don't need to figure out all your drama. I hope. Have a great day, sir. Please don't burn down any more fields. I mean, that'd be pretty dramatic. And of course, this is Absalom burning down the commander's field because he wanted to talk to his dad. Do you think you're going to show up and fix that? That's some drama. There ain't nothing you're going to do get into that mess. And that's just crazy. And in Proverbs 26, verse 15, it says, "And he that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to himself is like one that taketh by a dog's ears." Can you imagine walking in that? This guy's burning fields because he was mad at his dad. He's mad at his sister being taken. He's mad at probably this. I mean, the things he talks about his dad must be insane. And you try to get in there, you're just going to get bit. Because here's the thing is, even after everything Absalom does later in his life, did David want him dead? No. Just like he didn't want Saul dead. It's hard to get into other people's dramas and know how they will act, because you would think one way, but it's not always that. In Romans 14, verse 4, it says, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servants? To his own master he standeth and falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth another day alike. Every man be fully persuaded in his own mind." Understand this. If it's another person's household, it's another person that, let them deal under that. Because let me tell you this, you may judge one issue, and let me tell you this, probably you go through David's life, you're just like, huh, he was right, he was wrong, and that happened to him. And here's the thing is, it's all together. It's one life. It's connected. You can't isolate one problem when it's a family matter, because it's all of it together. It's all of it together. And I mean, we could go through so many other traumas and this and other issues that are going on. But let me end on this. What's another reason why you don't want to get involved in other people's drama? Because let me tell you this, you have no idea how it will turn out. You have no idea where they're going to go. Because you would like, I'm talking about people abandoning like their side chick and their child in the wilderness to die. I'm talking about like a son who's angry that dad didn't do anything because his sister was raped, and then he's going to give the inheritance to his new wife's, you know, child when all his other children have been around forever. I'm talking about big things, but here's the thing is, do you even know how it's going to turn out? Because, hey, I mean, we could think about this. Hey, you know what Abraham and Hagar did? She moved back in and raised that child all the way to adulthood in the house. There was issues later in life when the other child came to life, but she continued living there. They lived the rest of her life there. You know, Absalom became basically second in the kingdom. David was willing to forgive him for what he's done and all that, and then raised him up to a status that he lived years as second in the kingdom. Now, you know, if you read your Bible, that didn't last. But here's the thing is, he had years they could have worked things out even further. You don't know where they're going to go. Because I'm going to tell you this, you meet a guy who's burning a field because he's angry at his dad, and you think it's over. Family's done. But they actually worked together for years. Now, it does seem like Absalom never forgave his father. But here's the thing is, think of Israel, Jacob. I mean, your uncle's riding out to kill you, or at least take everything you have back with him. But it turns out that they probably lived peacefully for them now. Your brother, who swore upon his death he was going to kill you, he didn't even care anymore. Family drama, but it passed on. And here's the thing is, what will pass on? What will last? Is the family forever broken? Is this relation forever gone? Is it going to be mended and be forgotten? Let me tell you this. You don't know, but the thing is, you're an outsider going into that. You're just setting yourself up to be bit. And that's all the wisdom I'm trying to pass on to you. I believe it's biblical. Hey, if it's not strife pertaining to you, just stay out of it. Because here's the thing, especially when it's in a household, the relationships don't make sense. All our relationships, what we allow, what we don't, what we'll forgive, and what we won't, does not make sense, especially the closer they are. A husband and wife will have drama that doesn't even make sense to anyone else. All right? Do you know, like, my parents, they got a divorce over a sandwich. It wasn't really about a sandwich, it was about a rug. Like, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't. But no relationship really makes sense. Arguments don't, like, our bitterness builds up. And let me tell you this. You probably have enough within your own life to focus. We don't need to go out and find more. And that's really my whole thing. I don't think anyone here is going to support the blue anymore, but understand, it sucks getting into other people's business. It really does. But sometimes you just have to understand, there's not much we can do when we come in. We want to see. We see people having problems. They're having stress. They're having a ruined life. I even look at them. I'm like, how could you deal with this another day? But there's nothing I can do. I could have not helped Hagar. I could have not helped, you know, Jacob in any point of his life. What would I do with Absalom? And I just think that's the way we are in life. And sometimes it's hard for us to understand that it may not involve us. And I hope if it does involve you, maybe you just follow biblical principles on how we resolve conflict and hopefully forgive and move on. But man, if it doesn't, all you're doing is trying to put a stumbling block before your brother, I believe. So with that, I hope you got any from this. I just want to let us know, don't go out to try to grab a dog by his ears. So with that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much today. Thank you for this. Allow me to pray or preach this. I hope it was edifying, not just to your word, but the people of this church. I hope we could take some lessons from it. And just remember, Lord, we have enough concerns with our own life. We don't always need to be involved in everyone else's. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, if you want to go ahead and take your hymnals, we're going to turn to page number 43. It's page number 43. We're marching to Zion. Page number 43. And we'll sing it out on the first. Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord, join in a song with sweet accord, and thus around the throne, and thus around the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. The hill of Zion yields 1,000 sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly fields, before we reach the heavenly fields, or walk the golden streets, or walk the golden streets. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tree be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground, we're marching through Emmanuel's ground. To fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, Beautiful, beautiful Zion, we're marching upward to Zion, beautiful city of God. All right, excellent singing, everybody. Brother Remy, would you please close with a word of prayer?